Very excited for my next guest. Never had him on before, but looking forward to maybe getting him on more in the future. He represents our some of our listeners over there in the very far western regions of our listening area on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. Congressman Stephen Palazzo joins us on the line. Congressman, how are you this morning?
Hey, Jeff. Listen, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm honored to have been invited on your show. And yes, let's try to do this a little more regularly, because, you know, your listeners are my listeners, and, you know, we travel back and forth and we spend time and money in each other's respective areas. So I think we got a lot in common, and we have a lot that we can share. But look, I'm doing fantastic. It's a beautiful morning along the Gulf Coast. I'm sure you felt it as well as we did. It was crisp, it was nice, and you know, I'm ready to put summer behind us and start getting into some beautiful fall football weather.
Yeah, I agree with that. It seems like football season came late, but so did fall. So, maybe that's a sign of things to come, I hope. Let's get into it. First off, your district there, COVID-19 impacting every different part of the country a little differently, I think. But things seem to be improving. How are things going out your way?
You know, they're up and down. It just depends on, you know, we had crews in the coast this past week. You have certain events and a lot of people. I'm not saying that's going to be a COVID spreader. It was just a great opportunity. A lot of people came in, enjoyed our beautiful beaches and restaurants, and just, you know, and it was a great event. But, you know, from time to time, there'll be occasions where groups let their guards down a little bit, and you'll see a spike, and then you'll see it come back down. But I'd have to say our school systems, have been fantastic. You know, they've got procedures in place. You know, if someone pops up positive, they do their own little contract tracing, and then they quarantine. They don't shut the whole school down. Like, you know, I guess the Northeast and New York, I don't even know if they're going to school yet, which is horrible for those young children that they need to, you know, get out of the house and get back into society. But so I think we've done a good job. I still encourage people. I've never mandated, I've never forced, you know, I just strongly encourage people to do the little things, social distance, you know, wear a mask if you're in and around people you're not familiar with. And, those little things will make a huge difference in us defeating COVID-19.
Well, and you're sort of a similar situation we are over here in Alabama with the tourist economy being such a big part of your economy. Obviously, the casinos there and the people that come down to the beaches are that this COVID stuff impacts you guys in a little different way than it has impacted, I think, the rest of the country.
Yeah, it's, I'm glad to see that the actual, you know, the casinos and the gaming markets are opening up. And it's just, you know, take them or any other business, you know, the shelter in place is shutting down our economy. I mean, there's lessons to be learned from that, and we should never do that again. As you know, it was devastating, and when we don't know the long-term effects of it. A lot of businesses are never going to come back. Many will, because Congress was quick to act, and I think the PPP program was unprecedented, but this was an unprecedented crisis that helped save many, many mom-and-pop Main Street businesses around the country. But, you know, all businesses, you know, we're going to take care of, you know, our number one priority is, you know, we're in business. You know, we want our customers. We care for our customers. We take care of our customers. And then our employees are like family. So I think opening up and taking the appropriate steps, the gaming industry and others have been really smart, because, you know, they want to stay in business. And if your customers are sick, you're not going to stay in business for long.
Well, tell me something, Nancy Pelosi. You're starting to hear some rumblings that Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and Pelosi are talking about another phase of relief proposal, legislation, whatever you want to call it. That it looks maybe it's like one of these things that it could happen, but it's just probably going to have to wait till after the election.
Yeah, that's they're talking. We the House, you know, Republicans have been completely left out of this debate the entire time. I mean, it's actually shameful. When we were in the majority, we always included our the minority you know, members of Congress, because, you know, we as a Congress represent, you know, congressional districts all across the nation. So we should come together and, you know, and a crisis is like we've been through this global pandemic, and come together as a united Congress and advance good legislation. But, you know, it has to be targeted, Jeff. It has to be strategic. We're so far into this. We know it works. PPP was a great program. It works. Let's extend it. The stimulus helped, you know, many families. You know, let's take a look at that, what the dollar amount is or should be. I'll leave that to the actuaries. But, you know, extending unemployment and paying people $600 a week or even $400 a week, more than what their state unemployment provides, that's a huge disincentive for people to go back to work. And we definitely cannot bail out these failed cities and states that are suffering financially because of COVID. It's just failed management over decades of liberal leftist leadership, and those are the ones that we should not reward.
Congressman, moving on to some other things. Obviously, I mentioned the election on November 3rd. I always like to ask this: we get a member of Congress on about how do you feel about November 3rd, particularly in your body, in your chamber? I mean, when I talk to a lot of your colleagues, at least around in Alabama and over in the Panhandle, they think there is a pretty good opportunity here to get the House back. Do you share any kind of optimism?
Yeah, I think there's a silent storm brewing of disenfranchisement with the Democratic Party and how they have mismanaged. You know, the fact that Nancy Pelosi has just embraced the radical left, the mantra of dismantle, destroy, and defund is just awful. And I can't imagine, you know, these Democrats may not go vote for Biden and the radical left because they're afraid of Kamala Harris. I mean, people are starting to see through. Joe is not in great health, Joe, mental or physical. And so look to who's going to replace Joe. Kamala Harris, 1,000 times worse than Obama could have ever been. She's the face of the radical left that destroyed, the dismantle, the defund movement. And I think you know, Democrats and you know moderate Democrats and independents that may have gone away from Trump are really coming back. And either they're not going to vote for the Biden Harris ticket. They might not vote for Trump, but at least they're not going to vote for Biden Harris. Better Trump does, the better we're all going to be able to do, especially in these districts where Democrats won congressional seats, but Trump won the congressional district. I think a lot of people are going to be reevaluating how they cast their vote, and I think the Republicans are going to do well, especially in the House. The polls might not be showing it, but the polls aren't showing the president winning either, is because people are keeping it close to vest. Don't let the signs fool you. I mean, people might not put up a Trump sign in their yard because they don't want their home vandalized. It just depends on the state and the neighborhoods they live in.
Yeah, well, I think, 2018, you didn't have Trump on the ballot. In 2020, perhaps, Donald Trump has coattails that a lot of, I think a lot of these election watchers and media pundit types that follow politics, they're not really, they seem to be discounting.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and I think they do it to try to fire up their base, because I think their base kind of sees this disaster of a speaker, disaster of a presidential ticket, and so you want them to think that hey, look, we can win this, Trump's losing, but we need you to come out. That may be just a crazy analysis, but I don't know what drives them, but when you wake up every day and you see Trump down 12 points, it scares us. But the same polling in 2016, we're going to do well. America, the silent majority, is still out there. It might be smaller than it used to be, but it's still the majority, and we're going to deliver on election day.
We're speaking with Congressman Steve Palazzo of Mississippi here on the program. Well, speaking of crazy Nancy Pelosi here, I'm not sure what's going on here. That I feel like sometimes when you see some of the messaging bills coming out of the Democratic caucus, that there's some dissension there, that she's just barely holding that ship together. But the latest example, the 25th Amendment Commission that she's assembling, or whatever you want to call it, it didn't seem to stick around. That news didn't seem to stick around much. But what do you make of that coming from the House of Representatives?
Yeah, Jeff. Well, real quick, and I'll answer that. I just want to remind people, and I think we get this, you know, elections have consequences. And, you know, again, compare what we've been able to do over the past 4 years. Before COVID, we had the hottest economy record, unemployment record, job creation, minority job participation was at an all-time high, you know, more than Obama, more than any Democrat or Republican before us. We've restored our military. You were taking care of our veterans. Historic peace agreement. You know, elections have consequences. You know, look, President Trump may have been unorthodox. You might not like his tweets, but he's been effective in making America stronger and more prosperous. Now, you know, jumping over to Crazy Nancy, this ought to be the Crazy Nancy amendment. So I'm starting to think that, you know, elected officials at a certain point should be tested for their mental faculties and calm. Just like when you have to go in and get a driver's license at a certain age, you got to start doing it more frequently because your eyesight and your health, and it's just a natural progression. I'm not trying to target any different groups, but her embracement of the radical left, her openly, the things that she's saying and talking about, and the fact that she hasn't even been able to, with all the police officers that have been, ambushed and murdered in our country, and she won't even do a resolution in honor of our police. I mean, they are so far left, so social, so Marxist, I think it's surprising the Democratic Party that it's gone this far. But yeah, this is, again, it's just another example of, I think, her losing it. And if the Democrats are in the majority, I think she's going to be challenged, and she may absolutely be defeated by another Democrat.
Yeah,
Speaker of the House.
I think. You take a step further. If you guys take over the House, I think that's the end of the Nancy Pelosi era, that we'll definitely see some kind of new leadership. But what worries me is what that new evil, or what if you don't call it evil, what that new leadership might look like. It might be even further to the left than Nancy Pelosi.
Now, I just don't feel that, Jeff. I mean, because, when you see the news, you feel like just Congress, we go in there and like we're like cussing each other and fighting in the elevators and clock, but there's a lot more that unites us than divides us, and we can't let the AOCs and her crazy little squad that she created ruin Congress as a whole. It may be ruining it may be affecting the Democratic Party, but we can't let it affect the institution as a whole, because we need a functioning Congress to have a healthy country. Separation of powers, all three branches need to be staying within their lane and doing their jobs. And so I think you'll see some candidates come out that won't be as crazy as Nancy. I think you'll see them a little more middle left.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, but hopefully we can do this again real soon. I do appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Well, Jeff, this is the first time we were able to talk. Next time we might be able to talk about some SEC football. How's that sound? I think we should not have done that on our first interview.
Well, I'm an Auburn fan. I'm kind of shy about my football these days, but hopefully.
Well, I'm a Southern Miss, and look what South Alabama came and did. Y'all came ready to play. I'm telling you, you put a smackdown on us. But there's always next season.
Let's hope there's a next season and we can go to the games, actually. Congressman, as always, thank you for making time for us.
Anytime, Jeff. Thank you. God bless.
That was Congressman Steve Palazzo of Mississippi's 4th Congressional District there along the Gulf Coast.